What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Search for Dark Matter, The Elephant in the Universe, is the new book by Govert Schilling, 100 Years Search for Dark Matter. Our story so far, the universe doesn't hold together unless we can find something called dark matter. Or unless dark matter doesn't exist, then we cannot explain how the universe holds together. It's that puzzling. So Govert has introduced us to the reasoning of what this particle might look like. They call it a WIMP, weakly interacting massive particle, WIMP. However, the searches continue, and we're going to go to one of those searches. But before we go there, Govert surprises in his explication to introduce a chapter about a heretic. The man's name is Milgram, and he and his colleagues are using Newtonian physics to explain what we observe in the heavens. This is the part that I loved completely, because this is not contrary. This is what about? And what I take is there are some cosmologists who accept the contrariness of it and some who are annoyed by it. Is that correct, Govert?
Absolutely. This is an interesting story because Milgram and his colleagues, they came up with a brilliant idea, because we still haven't found dark matter. And we see it all around us. We see its effects in the motion of galaxies and clusters, in the rotation of galaxies, in the gravitational lensing. But if you start to realize what's actually happening, the only thing we see is the gravitational effect of dark matter. And to explain the gravitational effects that we see, we use our current theory of gravity, which is actually old Newtonian gravity and then superseded by Einstein's general relativity theory. Now, Milgram asked himself, what if our ideas about gravity are wrong? If we do not have the right theory of gravity, we might draw the wrong conclusions about what we're seeing. We draw the conclusions that there must be dark matter by using our current theories of gravity. But if the theory is not correct, it may be so that dark matter does not exist. And he came up with a modified version of gravity, and he called it the modified Newtonian dynamics, so the MONT theory. And it was sort of a made-up theory to fit the observations. But it was constructed decades ago, and almost half a century ago. And even now, people are still not able to really refute it. It's still a possibility that our ideas about gravity are wrong. And if that is true, well, who knows? Astronomers and physicists might be chasing a mirage, and they might be looking for dark matter that does not exist at all.
Govert, it gives me to understand there's a generational conflict in cosmology right now. The senior cosmologists, my aging group, Jeremiah Ostriker is one of them, regard this heresy as unacceptable, a waste of time. I think Ostriker's wonderful quote is, we might as well write papers about why humans can't fly. Okay, fine. Yeah. But you speak to Stacy McCaw, I believe is the way you say it.
Uh-huh.
The fact that MON works at all is a problem for dark matter. So in theory, they've come up with a theory that suggests that there might be something to examine here.
The main success of this MONT group, the Milgram and McGaugh and their colleagues, the main success is in these rotational properties of galaxies, because the galaxies are rotating in a weird way. The outer parts are moving too fast. That's something that Vera Rubin found, that Albert Bosma found. We see that in each and every galaxy. So there must be something happening there. The traditional way of explaining this is by having a lot of dark matter distributed in this galaxy in a certain way so we can explain all these velocities. But the Monk theory explains it without any assumptions. It just have this slightly modified version of our gravitational theories, and it can explain all the rotational curves of galaxies perfectly. And that's a big success for Mond. And that's a bit of a worry for the traditional physicists, because even if there is dark matter, they have to explain why the dark matter behaves in such a way that it actually fits this theory. It's a little bit an inexplainable thing.
We're back to astronomy. Let's go look for dark matter. Even if we can't find it in particle physics, we can see it. And here again, we go to one of the wonders of the 20th century, gravitational lensing. My understanding is Einstein's telescope, that if that gravity affects light or the energy that comes to us from far away, so that allows you to see things that otherwise might not be visible, but it's distorted as it goes around the edge of a galaxy or a star. So where can we see, where do they think we can see cold dark matter using gravitational lensing?
Well, actually, it's not so much that you can see what kind of dark matter we're talking about, but it's possible to map the distribution of dark matter by using gravitational lensing. Because if a very distant galaxy is sending its light toward us, this light is being slightly bent and curved by the gravity of all the intervening mass. And that's not just visible galaxies and clusters, but also the distribution of this mysterious dark matter in the universe. And if you look at millions of galaxies, and that's something the Vera Rubin Observatory is going to do, but also a couple of future space observatories, if you do this and you study the statistical properties of their shapes and their distribution in space, you can, by mapping this effect of gravitational lensing, you can also make a map of the distribution of dark matter, not only in space, but also in time, because you can do it for very distant galaxies where we look back billions of years in time. So the eventual hope is that we can create a 3D map of the distribution of dark matter in our universe. And that's something that gravitational lensing is very, very good at. And it's a way to, another way to see the effects of dark matter in space.
The Bullitt cluster, this was a treat to imagine, well, if there is dark matter and one cluster, one nebula is running into another, what happens to the dark matter that surrounds them? Does it bump up against other dark matter? Does it distribute in a way that we can't expect? I was ready to be told again that this contradicts everything we have, but I couldn't tell from the images. Can we see where the dark matter bumped into other dark matter, or is it...
Yeah, this is maybe a hard part of the book. It's not a simple topic, but it's but this Bullitt cluster is actually two clusters of galaxies merging, passing to each other. Now, the galaxies themselves are far away from each other, so they can actually pass through each other pretty undisturbed. The gas in between the galaxies is everywhere. So the gas atoms, they start to interact. But that's normal matter. This is charged particles. They feel the electrical force, magnetic force. So the gas clumps up together in between the two colliding clusters. But now if we talk about the dark matter, this is also non-interacting stuff. So it moves through each other just like the stars would do. And by mapping the gravitational lens effect of this Bullitt cluster, you may try to see where most of the mass ended up.
I see.
And it's the first indications was that it is actually confirmed the existence of dark matter, because it looked like the two biggest mass concentrations were still surrounding the two individual clusters, which could only be explained if the dark matter was still within these clusters. So it looked like the Bullitt cluster observations were refuting the Mond theory. But, well, as it goes in science, those people with the alternative theory, they don't give up too early. So they are still working very hard to explain it with their own modified Newtonian dynamics theory.
Right, still possible with neutrinos. You went to the Very Large Telescope for this experiment. They were tracking the Bullitt cluster, and you believe that when the X ultra-large telescope, what is it, the extremely large telescope?
Extremely large telescope, yeah.
Will that be a better tool to witness dark matter?
Yeah, because this is a European project, and they're building the biggest telescope in human history with a primary mirror almost 40 meters in diameter. So it's a huge construction, and it will be finished in a couple of years. And today we all think, well, if you want to study distant galaxies, you need the James Webb Space Telescope. And that's a wonderful instrument for a lot of science because it's in outer space and looks in the infrared. But its mirror is only 6.5 meters. We couldn't launch something much bigger. So here on the ground, we're building something with a mirror 40 meters in diameter. And that will be very important to study extremely faint objects. And it will be a very important telescope to study structures like the bullet cluster and to study the gravitational lensing effects of certain objects that we hope we can be able with to confirm or to refute the popular dark matter theories.
We're going in search of dark matter now, and we're going to try something that Govert has already mentioned. This is the wit of cosmologists. We're going to go in pursuit of the macho. The book is The Elephant in the Universe, 100-Year Search for Dark Matter. Govert Schilling is the author. I'm John Bash.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.